Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. Want to tell the story of your small business? Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Today's stories, tax pitfalls for freelancers thanks to rule changes, and the debate over who's paying the tariffs on Chinese imports. Those stories after this.
This human resources professional is crushing it, thanks to Kronos. And this is his hype song.
You can fall back with the pack. I'm a leader pack.
I've got HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. Now we are
engaging all the best people.
Blast off to the front of the field. This is
Kronos. HR solutions for the modern workforce. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
If you've started earning money from a side hustle, freelance work, or your own business, make sure you have a handle on your new tax situation because it just got more complicated. Here's how from Kelly Grant, senior editor at Acorns Plus CNBC. Kelly, how do you prepare?
It's kind of a shift for most people. If you're used to having your 9-to-5 where an employer is taking out taxes automatically from your paychecks, if you're picking up any sort of a side income or you're going into business for yourself or you're going to be full-time freelance, you know, one of the things you have to get a handle on is understanding your tax responsibility.
All right. Is this some sort of special tax calculator? What are we supposed to do here?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing you got to realize is that you are responsible for actually doing a lot of that work yourself. You do need to be figuring out, paying taxes on that and, you know, how that interplays. If you've got a full-time job, maybe you don't need to do a ton of extra work in terms of quarterly taxes, depends on a lot of factors in the end. If you are full-time freelance, you're going to be needing to really think about focusing on making sure you're paying quarterly taxes so that you keep ahead on everything and don't end up owing penalties or having some late filing issues.
Yeah. All right. So the number one mistake that we need to avoid, you say, is under-reporting income. Explain that scenario.
Yes. So a lot of this ends up being because people don't realize that they actually do need to pay taxes on all of this income that comes in. You might not necessarily be getting a 1099 when it comes tax time from certain employers, especially if they didn't pay you a ton of money. Usually the threshold is about $600. So if you made just a little bit of income here and there, you won't necessarily see a 1099, but you are supposed to be reporting that income. And we know that people who freelance, and they're more likely to inaccurately report how much they make.
Number two, you said underestimating what you owe.
Yes. So that's another thing that we hear a lot about these, they call them 1099 workers, is that they often don't pay enough in quarterly taxes. And this can be a little complicated to figure out because if you're somebody who's, if you have that 9-to-5 where some of your income is being withheld, maybe you don't need quarterly taxes. It's something that you're going to have to do some digging and, really get an assessment, ideally from a tax professional who can tell you how much you should be paying in on a quarterly basis, and oftentimes making sure that you're really hitting those deadlines, because that is one where if you're underpaying that can be something that subjects you to penalties, especially when you're eventually trying to catch up at tax time.
Mm. We're speaking with Kelly Grant, senior editor at Grow from CNBC plus Acorns. And she's written a piece entitled, Don't Make These Two Mistakes When Paying Taxes on Your Side Hustle. You referenced it earlier, but it can be complicated because if you're working full time, right, that will impact the taxes that are withheld likely from your side hustle.
Exactly. And there's all these different interplays with deductions you claim, all these other factors that you'd want to figure out. So, really the thing to do here is to talk to a tax professional. Especially as you're figuring out, if you're really scaling this up. Some people, they start off very small with a side income or a side hustle, and it can quickly become something that's a, 5 or 6 figure income for them. So it really helps to work with somebody who can help you figure out, how much you should be paying, when you should be paying it, what sort of deductions you could potentially claim for all these, new expenses that you're coming in with.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant, senior editor at Acorns Plus CNBC. More after this. The joys of being a business owner are many, and in a blink of an eye, a problem arises, which your employees expect you to have a simple, timely solution for. But maybe you're just not sure. What you need is a sounding board for business-related issues, like a group of area business leaders that you can turn to for valuable advice. Check out The Alternative Board, also known as TAB, which has been helping owners and CEOs of privately held businesses for close to 30 years with their advisory boards. The TAB boards are made up of local, non-competing business leaders who meet once a month to discuss a range of topics from sales, marketing, hiring, and more. A TAB membership can make a huge difference for your business. Plus, you get expert one-on-one business coaching. Start by finding out if there's a TAB board seat available in your area. Go to my special website, thealternativeboard.com/yourmoneynow. That's thealternativeboard.com/yourmoneynow. Escalating tariffs between the U.S. and China have fueled an acrimonious debate over who's paying. President Trump says China, his critics say Americans. The answer isn't straightforward because, as with any tax, the person paying the tariff doesn't necessarily bear its burden. It's a story by Greg Ipp, chief economics commentator at the Wall Street Journal. Greg set this up.
A tariff is a tax, and we know that the person who pays the tax is not necessarily the person who bears the burden. So let's say a tax is applied to a Chinese import. Suppose a Chinese exporter says to the customer, well, I don't want to lose your sales, so I'm going to cut my prices so that the price you pay will be the same. In effect, even though the American sends a check for the tariff to the U.S. government, it's the Chinese exporter who has effectively paid the tariff. On the other hand, if the Chinese exporter says, I'm holding my line, but I'm keeping my price the same, the American customer will pay the tariff. Either the importer will absorb it into his profit margin, or he will pass it along to the end customer. Now, there's other things that could happen. Instead, the American importer might say, I'm not going to buy it from China. I'm going to say, buy it from Vietnam instead, in which case nobody pays a tariff and the American government doesn't get a penny. Or they just might not buy anything any longer, in which case neither the buyer nor the seller walks away with a satisfactory transaction.
All right. So you focused on this this group that makes these inflatable boats out on Long Island, New York. Explain what you pieced together there.
Right. This is a typical small American business called Sea Eagles. So they're based on Long Island. There's only 30 employees there. And for many decades, they have imported inflatable boats made according to their design. And right now, they have three suppliers who, until recently, made them all in China. And so they were about to be exposed to the full 10% tariff that President Trump imposed last fall. So they looked around. They decided, well, what can we do about that? They persuaded one supplier to move production to Vietnam. So those boats now come in. They are not. They did not go from price because they don't have a tariff. One of the other suppliers agreed to cut her prices by 5%, but the other one did not. And as a result, this company had to pass along most of the price increase to their customers, about 7 or 8% on average for the Chinese-made boats. So when they say when they're asked who pays the tariff, they have a very straightforward answer: we do.
We're speaking with Greg Ipp, chief economics commentator at the Wall Street Journal. He's written a piece entitled "Who Pays the Trump Tariffs? We Do." These Americans say. So it can be complicated, I guess, from the U.S. right through international waters and right into China itself, I guess.
Well, that's true. And now, also, tariffs, economists don't like tariffs because they're taxes and they change people's decisions. They leave everybody worse off. So why do presidents impose tariffs anyway? Well, one of the reasons is for protection. So President Trump imposed tariffs on steel and washing machines because he wanted to protect the jobs of Americans who make steel and washing machines. And while there's some evidence that he managed to create a few jobs that way, they came at a very high price in terms of the additional cost that was shouldered by American consumers. In many cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars per job saved. The situation with China is a little bit different. This isn't mostly about protecting American jobs. It's about trying to deliver a shock to the Chinese economy and the Chinese leadership that says, the United States is very unhappy with the way you've treated American companies for many years. You take their technology, you keep them out of your own market, you subject them to discriminatory rules and regulations. That has to change. And so in some sense, these tariffs are a bit different from the other tariffs, and we knew that there was going to be some pain.
I thought it was interesting, too. You said that Sea Eagle emailed thousands of its customers explaining what was going on, and they pushed back, right?
Only a handful pushed back.
Okay.
Some of them said, you shouldn't be blaming President Trump for this. And the company's response is, well, we're not blaming the president, but we do think that there are ways of dealing with China that don't hurt us and our employees. Some of them said, why don't you make your boats in the United States? And they actually looked into that. But, you know, these boats have never been made in the United States. The entire supply chain is in other countries. If they were to assemble them here, they would have to import the fabrics, the machinery, the accessories, and the components. A lot of that stuff would be exposed to high tariffs. It would be extremely costly. Their sales might melt away. And frankly, for a company that's right now being battered by tariffs, it's not exactly easy to get a lot of capital. So it's just not practical for a lot of American importers to move their supply chain to the United States.
Thanks, Greg. Greg Ipp, chief economics commentator at the Wall Street Journal. Also, the chief financial officer at Walmart told Wall Street analysts during an earnings call recently that, quote, increased tariffs will increase prices for customers. More after this. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today. Reminder, the Small Business Report is found on our website this morning with gordondeal.com. That's also where you can hear our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Again, if you'd like to share your small business story, I'd like to hear it. Free publicity for you, inspiration, and tips for others. Email me at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.